Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Erie County District Attorney John Flynn is with us live this morning on The Top Shooter after a heavy emotional day for the community yesterday. John, first, why the decision not to allow cameras in court yesterday so that the public could hear the guilty pleas over and over again by the defendant? And many family members said they were taken aback by his cleaned up appearance, but the public didn't get a chance to see that.
Yeah, well, the judge just didn't allow cameras in the courtroom, Susan. We had asked for it. The defense attorneys objected to it. The defense attorneys did not want cameras in a courtroom. Like I said, we strenuously argued for cameras in a courtroom, but the judge ruled on the defense side and did not allow cameras in. The fact that he got cleaned up by his defense lawyers is quite frankly a common practice that defense lawyers do with their clients. You know, they clean them up, they bring them in a court to look presentable, and it's just a tactic by the defense team that they do in pretty much every case. But listen here, again, I know the public did not see him, but, you know, the reports that are out there about, you know, how he looked like a little boy and all sympathetic. Please don't have any sympathy for him at all. OK, he is a little monster who deserves to be in jail for the rest of his life. And that's where he'll be.
I don't think many people are feeling sympathetic at all, John, especially with the way that you detailed what happened in the courtroom yesterday. Can you walk us through both your process and maybe any discussions you had with family members of victims as to why it was important for you to go through 10 separate murder charges?
Well, the fact that there were no cameras in the courtroom, obviously I was disappointed in that. You know, I believed that the public and the community needed to see justice being done here. And the fact that, you know, there were no cameras in a courtroom, you know, I felt that I had an obligation, quite frankly, to the community, to, you know, the world, to let everyone know what this racist murderer did. And you know, I met with a number of the family members came up, you know, to my office before the guilty plea here and sat in my library. And, you know, I told them that there were going to be no cameras in a courtroom, that the judge had ruled that, and that I was going to, go through what the proof would have been at trial, so the community could hear that. There were no objections at all. I told them, hey, this is going to be painful to hear, but you know, they were prepared for that, and I hope that they appreciated, and I hope the community appreciates, just knowing what happened here and knowing the awful crime that this individual did. And again, I think it's part of the healing process where we can now put this behind us. Justice is being done. And, you know, as we go into the holiday season now, which will be the first holidays that these family members are not going to have with their loved ones, that this can be, you know, part of, you know, the process for our community.
We heard you say yesterday, John, that you were concerned about a change of venue if this were to go to trial to possibly Cattaraugus or Allegheny counties. And you laid out a mountain of proof in this case. Do you think that if this went to trial in an outlying county, that it wouldn't result in a guilty verdict?
Oh, no, not at all. And again, I just use those two counties as an example. I don't want people in those counties to get mad at me. You know, it could have been, any of the outlining eight counties, if this case was going to go to trial and if the defense made a motion for a change of venue, to get a change of venue is difficult, all right? But, you know, the reason for a change of venue would be the enormous amount of publicity that this case got here in a local community. Now, again, I would make the argument that, listen here, this case got publicity all across the country. I mean, it got equal publicity in Erie County versus Vice, you know, Genesee County, all right? So, again, I would have fought that, obviously. But, you know, in the days that followed this happening, and, you know, on May 15th, May 16th, there was, you know, obviously a lot of outrage, a lot of, comments made to the media about how, you know, he was guilty, he's a murderer, he's a racist. And, you know, I was concerned that that was going to taint a potential jury pool. So, you know, I felt it important at that time to do what I could to make sure that we kept this in Erie County and we had a fair trial. I made a couple of statements about, hey, you know, Senator, I get people's emotions here, but, you know, he's got to have a trial here. He's innocent until proven guilty. And, you know, I think that upset some people when I said that back then. But again, I wasn't doing it to help him out at all. Obviously, I was doing it just to make sure that we kept this jury here in Erie County and kept this trial here in Erie County, and that the jurors would reflect the community and that the victims got jurors of their peers. So that was my main concern. But no, I had no concern, Susan, at all, that he wouldn't have gotten a fair trial in a different county or the result would have been any different at all.
When you first became aware that there was intent to enter a guilty plea, was it your understanding that that's what the families would have preferred instead of going through that trial?
Well, again, I didn't have a choice, Brian, in that regard, because, you know, if someone is willing, if any defendant in any case that I have is willing to come in and say, hey, I'm willing to plead guilty to the charges, okay, I don't have a choice at that point. I can't say, well, you know what? I don't want him to plead guilty to the charges. I'm going to make it go to trial. I can't do that, obviously. That's not how it works. If someone wants to come in and just plead guilty to what the charges are, then it is what it is. And I had no say over that. So, but obviously, I don't think that anyone wanted to go through a long and protracted trial, okay? I mean, I don't think anyone wanted to have to live through that and sit through that. And so I think that I'm very glad about the result here.
John, is there any possibility of going after his parents or social media companies where he spread and planned his hate?
From a civil level, yes. From a criminal level, no. An exhaustive investigation was done, obviously, after this occurred. You know, we looked at, you know, his friends. We looked at any potential, you know, co-defendants. Did anyone know what he was doing? I mean, no one really knew what he was doing at all. I mean, like I said yesterday, he was actually going out to, like, state parklands and shooting and practicing shooting and, you know, making modifications to his gun and then coming back to his home and working on his weapon, all right, because it wasn't working right in the state park. And he was doing this all by himself. So there was no one else that we have found. And again, we looked through everything. There was no one else that we have found that knew what he was doing at all, had any role or any part of this whatsoever. So from a criminal standpoint, he is the only one who is criminally responsible for his outrageous actions. Now, with that said, Susan, obviously the families have civil attorneys, okay, and they have, you know, some of the best civil lawyers, in town. And, you know, they are going to be looking at, you know, going after the gun manufacturers, after the social media companies. The parents, I'm not so sure about. That's more of a difficult case if they had, like, no idea. They'd have to show that they had some kind of negligence on their part. But I was a civil lawyer before I became a DA. I would try myself too. So from a civil end, that's definitely going to happen.
We're speaking live with Erie County District Attorney John Flynn on WBEN Buffalo. John, the federal government has all the evidence that you do, that you laid out yesterday. What are you expecting? You made mention yesterday of how quickly your team, and not just your team, but police, everybody who was involved in this investigation, were able to come to this result with how, you know, long these processes, you know, sometimes can take over a year to play out in trial. How quickly do you think, with having the same evidence, the federal government can move and end things on that front?
Well, again, that all depends on the defendant. So if the defendant chooses to do what he did on the state level, which is walk in and plead guilty, then it could, resolve sooner rather than later. If the defendant does not choose to do that, and wants to, fight it in federal court, then it's going to take some time, obviously. But that's kind of up to them. You know, I'm not involved in those discussions now. I'm quite frankly kind of out of it. But the key thing, Brian, here is going to be obviously the decision that the federal government makes about whether or not to pursue the death penalty. That's going to be the ultimate deciding factor here on how long the federal matter gets resolved. And that decision is going to come from Washington, D.C. That's not going to come from the local office here in Buffalo. So they got to work through that and make that decision. And then once that decision is made, I think that's going to dictate, the speed of this going forward on the federal end.
Do you have a preference to whether he serves life in prison without parole, or would you like to see the feds pursue the death penalty?
Well, again, I'm not going to be disrespectful to my federal partners and weigh in on that. I mean, if I gave you my personal answer right now, that could be used to show that I'm somehow trying to influence the federal government here. And again, I don't want to do that, Susan. I respect my federal partners. I don't want to step on their toes or be disrespectful to them. So I'll let them make that decision. For me, I didn't have that decision to make, obviously. For me, there is no death penalty in New York. It was important to me that he got the highest possible punishment, which is life without parole, which he got by pleading to the top charge, which, again, that top charge encompasses everything that the federal government is charging, too. That top charge is a state domestic terrorism charge motivated by hate. So it encompasses all the elements of what he did, the terrorism aspect, the racial aspect, and the murder aspect. All three of those elements are encompassed in that one charge, which is the first time it's ever been charged in New York State, and he is the first defendant ever to serve a life sentence without parole under that specific charge in the history of the state. And that's what I wanted to do, and that's what we did.
Erie County District Attorney John Flynn. John, before we let you go, there was another high-profile case, pretrial hearing in that case of the stolen Kia that had a crash on the 33. What can you tell us about what happened yesterday?
It got moved to tomorrow. it got moved to tomorrow. The hearing will be on the 30th tomorrow. And then, like I said, the judge will then let us know whether or not we have to make a motion to try to keep it in, my court under my jurisdiction, or if the judge will just, rule automatically that it qualifies the parameters that are necessary to keep it with me. And so we'll find that out tomorrow.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.